Here we are. It's Food Maven, Food Maverick, Food
Poison.
Anyway, Arthur Schwartz. Here he is, and there's a challenge afoot.
So this week I'm going to talk about what I cooked all week, and the reason is somebody challenged me. I've had this challenge before. Well, what do you talk about on the radio? What do you do on your podcast? I say, I talk about food. And they say, you can talk a whole half hour about food?
And I started snorting.
I could go on for hours.
I know, and I started snorting the minute I heard that, but that's okay. I'm not going to even interrupt.
It's not days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact is, I don't make it all up. I do, in fact, cook practically every day. There's some days I'm fed up and I order in Chinese, but that's pretty much the mode around here. We don't, you know what? I don't like delivered pizza. As much as I like the pizza in a place, when I get it delivered, it's always disappointing. Anyway, so I cook seasonally, and of course there are holidays that come in, and so I'm always looking at that too for food inspiration.
Right.
So, what I talk about on the program is often something that's seasonal, but I cook seasonally. So whatever I cooked this week was seasonal somewhere in the world.
Well, there's all that. That's like at 6 o'clock somewhere for those of us who like to spiritus.
What's 6? I don't wait till 6.
4 o'clock.
5 o'clock somewhere.
I like that. What's 6? Now, most people...
No, I do wait till 5, though.
Okay.
I wait till it's 5 where I am. To have my first drink of the evening. Actually, I only have one in the evening, usually. In any case, back to what I cooked this past week. Let's start with, I had no broth in the freezer, and anybody who listens to this knows that I get insecure without good chicken broth in the freezer. And so I started the week by making a big pot of chicken broth. How do you do that, Arthur? It's very easy. There's nothing to do. I buy chicken backs. My butcher actually sells them in packages of about 2.5 pounds, frozen. He freezes them. He bones out a lot of chicken breasts for people.
That's clever.
Pardon me?
I said, that's clever, actually.
Well, any good butcher is not going to waste all that wonderful bones with meat. Right. So I figure usually that 6 pounds of backs will make me 5 quarts of good chicken soup. I'm not adding all kinds of flavors to it because I want a basic broth that I can use to cook with as well as enjoy eating. So I put all that in the pot, and the only hard part about making chicken broth, not hard, the only attention it really needs is to be skimmed a lot in the beginning. So you bring this all to a boil, and as it, not all, just the bones, the chicken backs, and water. And when you bring it to a boil, you will see really disgusting-looking scum come to the top, and you want to skim all that off. I have a utensil that I use, which is like it's a mesh, but it's in a frame, a large frame of stainless steel that is perfect for skimming, and it even gets, you know, on a round pot, you can. It's curved in the front, so you can bring it up on the sides of the pot. And by the way, that scum does collect more at the edges of the pot than it does in the middle. Anyway, finally, after about 15 minutes of skimming, it's running white and not nasty looking. Then you can add the rest of the ingredients, which is just carrot, onion, celery. In fact, I did not even have that much, so I used what I had.
I have a quick question. What do you do with the scum? Is there anything?
Throw it away.
Okay. Yeah, I just wondered.
I'm constantly rinsing off this utensil or a slotted spoon. You know, works very well, or even a small mesh sieve. And I do this close to the sink so that I can constantly clean it off with hot water. You don't want to eat that. And it's also going to muck up your broth if you leave it in there. If you don't skim, you're going to end up with cloudy, horrible-looking broth. I want, in the end, a crystal-clear, golden broth. Anyway, I let that, so carrot, onion, celery, I used like two of everything because there was a lot of chicken backs, and it's a huge pot and covered with. I think I started out with 5.5 quarts of water. It took to cover all those bones and ingredients. And as it cooks, because I'm going to let this simmer for 6 hours, by which time you're going to have a real lip-smacking broth, meaning there's going to be a lot of collagen in this broth. I let it cool. I strain it through a colander, not a mesh yet, put it in the refrigerator, and the next day I skim off the fat, which I often use to make matzo balls, but not always. If I don't, it's wonderful spread on a piece of toasted rye bread, if you happen to have rye bread in the house. I guess it's good on other toast as well. In any case, it's very good schmaltz, very good chicken fat, with a large moisture content. So you really can't use it to saute anything. Too much water in it.
What about potatoes?
What
about potatoes? Because
potatoes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they come in here?
They come into the schmaltz because you take, let's say.
I know, but you know, I'll tell you what's good with the schmaltz. I mean, there's something I cooked this past week, too. I made the chicken thighs on a bed of potatoes.
Okay.
In a cast iron skillet.
There you go.
And I sliced an onion into it also. And they absorb those potatoes, sliced quarter of an inch thick. Absorb all the chicken fat.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Coming off of those chicken thighs, and they're never crispy, but they are delicious and soft. And my friend who's been making this regularly since I decided that I liked it a lot, I told him about it. He cubes the potatoes, and you can wedge the potatoes. You can cut the potatoes any which way you want, but it goes into a 450-degree oven for 45 minutes, and the potatoes are well cooked by then. Anyway, that was one of the things I did, and also speaking of potatoes, I made this week artichoke hearts with potatoes. Now, I am stuck on this product, but Whole Foods has a really good frozen artichoke hearts, a 12-ounce bag, and I always cook the whole bag. So I usually just saute them. Well, I don't saute them. I more like braise them because they have a high water content. But here's what I did this time. I smashed a few cloves of garlic and let them infuse in some olive oil for a few minutes. And then I added the frozen artichokes right out of the bag from the freezer. They weren't defrosted even. And I covered the pan and I let them defrost like that in the oil. And by that time, they'd given up a lot of moisture as well. And then I put in two cubed potatoes. For a 12-ounce bag of artichoke hearts, I used, I would say, 10 to 12 ounces of potato. I wanted to extend this. Salt and pepper, of course. And then cover the pan and cook it until the potatoes are done, which is going to take another 10, 15, even 20 minutes, depending on how fast you're cooking. And it should go on a fairly low light. And a lot of moisture is going to collect in that pan. So you should uncover the pan at the end if you have too much moisture in the pan. Because it's not a wet dish. It's a dry dish. Artichoke hearts with potatoes, garlic. If I'd had some mint, I would have put some mint in there. I did not. I didn't have parsley even. I somehow did. The two dried herbs that I use most are dried oregano and dried mint. And I have made the artichokes with dried mint, which I like. But I don't know. I decided I just wanted to taste the artichokes and these really good potatoes, by the way, and the oil that I used, which was really good oil. So I didn't fuss it up. And in fact, this is my theme of the week. Don't F it up.
Right.
Salt and pepper is often all you need. I'm learning like my grandmother. Don't use salt and pepper wisely, and you don't need too much else.
All right, and I just have to, I am compelled to interject again because I had that, message from a grandmother, possibly a great-grandmother, about a week ago. And it was based, though, on something you had said at the end of your last show, which was, yeah, you know, the who is your friend who you stopped at the seventh ingredient or something, and then I started going.
Oh, no, it was Suzanne Hamlin, may she rest in peace, reviewed the Silver Palette Cookbook. And in the review, she said, it's very good recipes if you eliminate the last seven ingredients.
Perfect. So with that being said, may she rest in peace, I went on to talk about how these you know, food shows, these competitive food shows, if you would just stop with the last, say, 14 ingredients, you'd be good. Because, you know, how to ruin a lovely, gorgeous-looking piece of steak. Oh, wow, gorgeous spinach. And then you start with the, you know, seafood-processed applesauce. Hey, what?
The what?
I'm making it up, but it's just like stuff that doesn't really go because you have to be special to win the competition.
I don't know. I try not to watch those. Sometimes I get engaged by one of the cooks, but
this
basically
is,
I'm against competitive cooking.
I am too, but it's not a cooking thing. It's not a watching thing. It's a traveling on the way to see something else, and I is sort of caught in horror, like when you are watching a train wreck. It's like, wait.
Well, I want to get back to broth for a minute, because in the end, we ate it, at least a good portion of it. That pot of 6 pounds of backs and 5 quarts, maybe closer to 6 quarts of water, ended up in 5 quarts of really, really good chicken broth. Good enough and full of collagen, so it's gels. You know, that's your aim here. You, after you've done a preliminary straining, put it in the refrigerator, and the next day it's going to be well gelled and have that layer of fat on the top, which is easy to skim off of gelled broth. So I had in the second round with my broth, I bring it back to the boil, taste it, cook it down if need be. Sometimes it does need to be reduced a little to get better flavor, and salt, of course. By the way, the other flavorings that I put in the broth to begin with are I put in a small handful, you know, a couple dozen peppercorns, a few cloves, just let them float in there. All the recipes always say put them in the onion, but I what's the difference? I'm going to strain them out anyway. Carrot, onion, celery, salt, of course. Anyway, back to the broth. So I had this broth on the stove after it came to a boil. It was really gorgeous. It didn't even need a second refining. And then the phone rang. And I was going to pack this up and put it in the freezer. But my friend who called said, I said, you know, do you want to have blah, blah? And she said, no, we have soup for lunch. So soup, maybe I should make soup. So I just made soup with the turkey remains. My nephew sent me home with turkey legs that I was able to make into a sensational broth. And so I decided, let's have soup again. So, and it was time to, quote, empty out the refrigerator soup. I used to do this regularly, like at the end of a week, if the produce had not been eaten for its own sake, it went into a pot of soup of some kind.
Right.
So this time I brought I didn't want to saute vegetables or anything like that. And I had, like, some, you know, spare vegetables. So in 6 cups of this really delicious chicken broth, I threw in 1 large carrot in small cubes, 1 bulb of fennel, which was on sale. And the reason was the outside layer was a little bruised up. So I use my vegetable peeler, and I always peel off the outside on the fennel anyway. Anyway, I cubed that up, and celery. I had some inner stalks of celery. I mean, all the outside beautiful green stalks were used already, and I decided to save the middle, the heart of celery, as they used to call it, with all those leaves. And I chopped all that up, including the leaves, and I put that in the pot. Then what else did I have? Oh, yes. Of course, I had a cup. I didn't want to put onions in because I discovered I had a whole bunch of scallions that were on the way out.
Yeah.
So I trimmed them up. It was still quite a bit. So I then I took off all the crummy outside leaves. There was still plenty of green, actually. And I chopped that up and put that in the pot, a whole bunch of scallions. And then I also had these two little potatoes. I didn't know what to do with it. It was too small an amount to do much with. So I put them in. I cubed them up, and I put them in the pot. I've been buying the yellow potatoes, the golden Yukon, which are really all-purpose potatoes. If I'm baking a potato, I buy a russet, of course. But for other things, I'm finding the golden Yukons are a really good all-purpose potato. I also had a quarter of a cup of plain old Carolina rice that I had in a little jar. I didn't want to throw it away. A quarter of a cup of rice, and I threw that in the pot. And I cooked all of this for about a half an hour. And I don't care if the rice sort of disintegrates. That's okay. It thickens the whole deal. And at the end, for the last 10 or 12 minutes, I threw in a can of chickpeas that were drained. I have to say, this was one of the best soups I've made in a long, long time. And only in retrospect did I decided to write this down so I maybe one day duplicate it. But it really was empty the refrigerator soup. And, of course, a can of chickpeas, which I needed to get rid of because I made the mistake of buying a whole case full.
I would have stopped before the chickpeas.
But of course, well, you don't have to put the chickpeas in.
And I would, be it.
I'll tell you what, it would be a good, I think it needed a legume. You could put lentils in. I would think red lentils would be wonderful because they disintegrate, make a nice color, and also do a little thickening at the same time. And I actually have a little jar of red lentils here, so I'm glad you
with rice.
You don't like any legumes?
And what about rice? I like rice.
So add more rice. Okay. You need a little something else.
I'm happy to add rice or something.
You could add pasta to that.
Yeah, that's true. Orzo.
Or ditalini.
Ditalini. That's good.
Ditalini.
Plus, it's fun to say.
Tiny little tube.
Yeah,
also called tubetti.
Both fun to say. Ditalini. Tubetti.
Ditalini is very fun to say, yeah. Yes.
And if you're going to eat something that's fun to say, it's even better. I just want to say that. It's true.
Speaking of fun to say, we just watched a great movie, totally underrated. You can probably find, we own it, but you can probably find it on Netflix or somewhere, YouTube, I don't know. Lily, L-I-L-I. And it stars Leslie Caron. Actually, it was only her second or third movie.
I remember that. And it was probably before Gigi or after Gigi. Was it before or after Gigi?
No, it was before Gigi. I'm trying to think what the first movie was. But anyway, I know it. It may come to me. The point is, in Lily, it's the Cinderella tale told all over again. Of course, Leslie Caron plays the Cinderella part, but the part of the witch, not witch, what do they call her? The godmother, fairy godmother?
The good one?
Cinderella? The fairy godmother.
The fairy godmother.
Cinderella
is
played by Estelle Winwood, who I think she was born old, because you may remember Estelle Winwood from The Producers, where she was very old, and this was made, I don't know, 20, 30 years before, and she was old then. Anyway, Estelle Winwood, as the fairy godmother, has a bunch of words that she likes to say just because she likes to say them because they sound so funny. So anyway, so what else did I cook last? I mean, I was on a cooking spree last week.
Just for your...
I think we only ordered in one meal the whole week, and that was because the kitchen was so immaculate from my housekeeper having cleaned it very well that I said, I don't want to dirty it and cook. So one of the things I did, besides artichoke and potatoes, which, by the way, I'm going to make again this week, there are certain things I make that Bob says, oh, you have to make this again soon. So that's one of them, and I was happy to make that again soon. What else did I cook? Oh, I made a chocolate cake. We had a new friend visiting. She was just stopping by for a cup of coffee, and it gave me the excuse to bake a cake. So I've talked about this cake a few weeks ago. It's called a chocolate snack cake. And I've been doing a little research on this. It ends up there are a lot of recipes called chocolate snack cake. And most of them, however, are made in the pan where you dump everything into the baking pan and stir it all together with a fork or whatever. This one is a little different, but what caught my eye with this one is, besides that I have all the ingredients in the house, almost always, it doesn't require any electric appliance. You can make it all beaten together by hand. So it's also easy to remember. Now, I am very good at remembering recipes, but this one, listen, 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of sugar, a half a cup of cocoa, another two teaspoons of baking powder. Now we're getting into the ones. 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Why do you use baking powder and baking soda together? Because cocoa has an acidity that needs to be counteracted by the baking soda. So you mix all these dry ingredients together. If you have the time, you can do it one day and bake the cake another. It's like having a cake mix. And then you just add the liquid. In this case, the liquid is 2 cups of water. So this is a dairy-free cake, although there's butter in it. And into the 2 cups of hot water, you melt 1 stick of butter. Now, what I've been doing is I just put the stick of butter in the water and bring it to a boil, and after it simmers a minute, the butter's melted. So you don't have to do it separately, and you don't have to dirty anything but one pot. Into that mixture of water and butter, let it cool a little bit. Put in two teaspoons of vanilla, and yet another two eggs, which I beat on the side with a whisk in a little bowl, and then add them into the other liquids. And all those get mixed together well. Pour it into the dry ingredients, and all you need to do is whisk it for 2 minutes. If you don't own a whisk, you can use a wooden spoon. But after about 2 minutes of mixing, you're going to see you get a really nice, smooth batter. And that's it, except that I felt it needed a little something.
Chocolate chips.
No, I used walnuts. Okay. I could do the chocolate chips. I'm going to do chocolate chips.
Just because I'm the anti-nut.
Chopped walnuts.
Yep, that would be good, too, for people
that
who
was
like...
good, but what made it even better was I made a chocolate buttercream.
Oh, okay.
Icing, which I learned. You know, I'm not that experienced a baker, but I did remember this from probably my childhood. A half a stick of butter, about a quarter of a cup of cocoa, but the butter should be soft. So you mash that all together, and then you add in, with a fork I do this, stir in, I would say, 2 tablespoons of cream, and then start adding confectioner's sugar. It takes about a cup and a half altogether of confectioner's sugar. This is not precise because I'm not precise with this, but you know, just keep adding sugar, and if you need a little bit more to loosen it up, add a little bit more cream. But in the end, you should have, I would say, the consistency of soft butter.
Do you, by the way, do you have a little? You add a little salt to that, and that recipe.
I do, a pinch of salt.
Okay, and that recipe.
I sort of add a pinch of salt to everything.
Yeah, no, likewise. I just wanted to get it out there for the person who's going to be.
Actually, I wouldn't mind this chocolate cake with some large crystal salt in it. It might be very good.
That might be really good. But P.S.
I'm really, totally into this salty, sweet thing.
Oh, I'm really into salt with sweet. I'm not into cloying, disgusting. No, sorry, I didn't say that. But I think that you will find that recipe on the back of the old confectioner sugar box.
Well, maybe that's where I learned it.
Because that sounds like how I learned. That's the only reason I said.
I mean, it's real buttercream.
Yeah.
It's butter and cream.
I know. So something.
Anyway, I have very good cocoa in the house. And I don't even know where I bought this, but I have a container of Italian cocoa.
Oh.
And I made the first one I made with Ghirardelli cocoa, which I like. And the second one I made with the Italian cocoa and the walnuts. And I liked it even better. And next time, I'm going to do your idea of the chocolate chips. Now, which do you like? You like dark chocolate chips, milk chocolate chips, Nestle's chocolate chips?
I'm used to Nestle, so I like those in chocolate chip cookies. So that's what I would.
No, I'll tell you this. From years ago, I participated in a chocolate chip tasting.
Uh-huh.
And Nestle's won hands down.
Yeah, it's just.
But even though we could see the merits of some of the others.
Exactly. No, it's just a taste.
The thing is, it's what you're used to. It's the flavor you associate with Toll House cookies.
Exactly. So that's why.
So that's why you like it.
And that's why I'm voting for that. And we're going to run out of time. But that's also where you. So
we filled up a whole half hour talking about food.
And all we did was broth and the cake.
I must say, the person this time around who asked me the question, looking at her, I would say she never eats. And so she doesn't care about food. And I do know a lot of people who, I don't know a lot of people like that. But I do know some people who have no interest in food. And I always say to them, well, what do you eat? And they tell me things like, oh, salad.
And cheese and crackers.
My mother, who did have an interest in food, after my father died, when she wasn't going out for dinner with her friends, which she did, I would say, most nights, she really looked forward to staying home and eating crackers with jam and a cup of tea. And she wasn't even a tea drinker.
Yeah, I know. Those are little treats that you get.
It became a thing later on in life.
Right.
She was always a coffee drinker.
No, I understand. I had a friend who told me that when her husband finally expired, she was, because she used to make, she'd make the chili and it lasts for, et cetera, that she was very much looking forward to. I said, what are you going to do for dinner? She said, a cheese sandwich.
I understand that, actually.
I do too.
I don't mind a cheese sandwich from time to time.
Exactly.
Bob's go-to for dinner, well, let me just say that we usually have our big meal in the middle of the day.
Right.
So we get to the evening, may not even be hungry until it's late. And then, I'm happy to have cheese and crackers, or actually nothing. Fruit. I'm big on fruit. We eat a lot of fruit. We probably eat too much fruit.
No, that's not possible. It's not possible.
I decree
it's not possible.
So we have a friend. I know we're out of time, but speaking of fruit, I just have to drop this in. That I don't know if you've ever ordered from Harry and David.
Yes. Oh, for years.
They have their special pears in season right now.
Right.
And we have a friend who always sends us a box of these, and I'm looking forward to that tonight as my dinner. They're called Royal Riviera pears. And my understanding is it's a kind of pear that only Harry and David has.
It's
like their own hybrid.
We'll have to investigate that. But meanwhile,
all right,
Maven
so
Maverick,
have a great week.
I'm hungry.
Keep cooking.
And whoever.
I'm actually going to try to go out this week.
Well, still, whoever challenged you got three recipes out of that.
I've cooked all week. You know?
But my point is, in half an hour, we got a measly, sorry, dear.
A measly three recipes.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, we could go.
If you have good broth, try the vegetable soup.
Sounds good. Forward.
Have a great week, everyone.
You too.